Good evening. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let us turn in our Bibles to Zechariah chapter 3. Zechariah chapter 3. And I would like to read verses 1 through 4. Zechariah 3, 1 through 4. Hear God's word. And he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, Take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, Behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with change of raiment. May God bless the reading of his holy word. By way of introduction, these were hard times. Very much like today for many, even in our country. There was a serious depression. Crops were failing. There was apparent financial ruin of the economy. The Jewish people responded to the call of Haggai to build the house of God. They had come back from exile. They were under the pressure of discouragement. And want faced them all around. And so it was not easy not to be discouraged. But comparatively speaking, it's not too bad. After all, they're home now. And from a spiritual standpoint, they are in the church. Yes, compared to where those who are in hell are, they were much better off. But nonetheless, it was a time of great turmoil. And there are those who were suffering as a result of that turmoil. But again, compared to an awful reality of an eternal hell, that was nothing. Now we should prepare for that world to come. That should be our great care. There are those who preach the word who die. There are those who hear the word who die. What do we do with the word of God? By the way, the word of God will not die. Not one jot or one tittle will fall to the ground. And so, let us preach the word and be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long suffering and doctrine. Zechariah, the name of the prophet, means remembered of the Lord, or the Lord remembers. There is our hope. Our hope is in the name of the Lord. Zechariah was serving as a priest when God called him to don another hat. He called him to preach the gospel. It was right. The times were right. And to build the church upon which that gospel would be built. They were rebuilders of the temple. They were rebuilders of the church of the living God, who had returned with Zechariah to undertake this great work under the leadership of Zerubbabel in 535 BC. There's a very important component to the preaching, however, and that is what I would call a messianic component. Messianic, meaning the anointed of God, meaning the Christ, the Son of the living God, who would be proclaimed over and over by Zechariah in his book. the fulfillment of the hopes of Zechariah, even as his name depends upon the completion of this temple. Christ says that he will build his church. He will build his church by his work of salvation in obtaining eternal redemption for his elect people. I'm talking about conversion. I'm talking about what happens when we witness, or at least the expectation that we have when we witness. And there are two things from this text that I would take from it, that I would have you remember. Even as God remembers his people, so we are to remember God. We are to remember his word. We are to remember his promises. We are to have hope in thus doing so. And so the two things that we will notice from our text are, first, a warning, and then comfort. The warning comes first, and that is that Satan is our accuser. We see here not only the Lord God that Joshua approaches in this vision given to Zerubbabel, or to Zechariah. We see another who comes. Another, not an angel of light as the first one before whom Joshua stands, but an angel of darkness. Satan is at his right hand, standing to oppose the word of God. This is how Satan works when we witness the grace of God in Jesus Christ. He is there at the right hand opposing the word of God. He is there at the right hand opposing the gospel of Jesus Christ every time. He hates it. He hates when sinners are brought into the presence of God. And when we witness the gospel of Jesus Christ, we are bringing sinners into the presence of the angel of the Lord, who is none other than the messenger of the covenant, who is none other than Jesus Christ. And he hates it also when we come into the presence of the Lord to minister in his name. Satan pointed those filthy rags on Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel was a picture of the people that he stood in behalf of before the throne, before the altar, that is. Satan must have quickly and without fail pointed to those filthy clothes that he was wearing and declared forcefully that Joshua was unfit for his office. The name Satan means adversary, opponent. We are called upon to fight against the fiery darts of the evil one, to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. By the way, this describes the case of every awakened and converted soul. Awakened and or converted soul, I should add. When God convinces a soul of sin, he brings him to stand before his presence. Mind you, when we give the gospel, we are not just about sharing Jesus with people or sharing the love of God with those who are loveless. We are declaring that God is come in the flesh, in the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that he is in his gospel standing here before you. Hear the word of the Lord. But then lo and behold, as there is Christ here, so there is Satan. Before, Satan may have filled your heart with pride so that you didn't want to hear. Before, Satan may have entangled your life in ungodly associations who would not hear, and thus you would not hear along with them. Who would bring you down the broad road, and it would hinder you from entering in at the straight gate. Or he would bring you under the faithful preaching of the word to content yourself in sitting, to content yourself in hearing, to even content you in delighting in what you were hearing. But then, when Christ comes, when Christ comes to awaken you, there is Satan to resist you. And you go away, having forgotten what manner of man you are, having forgotten what you have heard. Satan is described in the book of Revelation as what? The accuser of the brethren, who is said to cast down. He's not here to lift up. He is not here to lift you up. He is here to cast you down. He is here to take you down. Which accuse them before the Lord, day and night, 24/7. You think you go or walk in the Christian life unopposed? Well, let me say, there's an enemy within who you need to consider, namely your own sinful flesh. But there is an enemy without that you need to watch out for, who is Satan, the accuser of the brethren. Accused of what? Look at him, Lord! Filthy rags! A high priest? Minister of the gospel? Pathetic. Still, because this position, this office, is not based on the merits or worth of that one who fills that office, because he too is a brand plucked out of the fire. And I'll explain what that means. He stands in filthy garments, yes. Satan has a lot to accuse him of, indeed. But Joshua has an even greater advocate in the angel of the Lord. Which brings us to the comfort. The warning again, and that is that you have an accuser who is Satan. The comfort is that you have an advocate. An advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. As I said, this is about conversion. The object of the eyes of the angels of heaven. The delight of the heart of the Father in heaven. The love of the shepherd, the Son of Man, who came to seek and to save that which is lost. The work in the soul brings greater glory to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit than all of His other works. Nothing equals it. If you think little of this, if by your treatment of it, you disdain it and laugh at it, let me say how little of the mind of God you have. The world is a great battlefield for the souls of men and women and children. The whole world lies in the arms of the evil one, the book of God declares, who lulls them to sleep by his lullabies. And yet there is one who comes forth, not on a white horse with many crowns, at least not yet, but according to Zechariah, in Zechariah 9:9, upon a donkey. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. But moreover, this one who is our advocate, our mediator, our prophet and priest and king, pleads in our behalf. He says in our text, who are these that are condemned? He describes them as brands plucked out of the fire. What is a brand? A brand is a burning or burnt piece of wood that is smoldering in the campfire. If you've ever been camping before. If you haven't, you ought to come in the summer to camp. We have a fire every night. And so it is with the child of God. He is just like that brand that is smoldering and about to be extinguished, because if you leave it there long enough, all you have in the morning are ashes. I can testify to that. What is he at his best? Until he is taken up, he's just a brand plucked out of the fire. It is his daily moan as a sinner every day. And yet Christ accepts him for the way he is, for his sake. And he shuts up the devil's mouth by saying, "Thou sayest this man is charred black." I'm quoting Spurgeon. "Of course he is. But what did I think that he was? But what did I think but that he was that? He is a brand plucked out of the fire. I plucked him out of it." The Apostle Paul says in Romans 8, "Who is he that condemneth? Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather is risen again, who is even at the right hand of the Father of God, who also maketh intercession for us." There is therefore now, on the basis of Christ's finished work, no condemnation. No condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Spurgeon goes on to say, "Take note that this rebuke comes at the right season. When Satan accuses, Christ pleads. He does not wait till the case is gone against us and then express his regret, but he is always a very present help in time of trouble, till he gives an answer which silences forever every accusation." If you are a believer, it is because the work of Christ has been applied to you. And though in yourself dwelleth no good thing, though you yourself are filthy rags, though your best efforts to please God are as those filthy garments on the high priest, yet, as Zechariah points out in the Word of God, God has taken away the filthy garments from him. God has taken the filthy garments from you and has replaced them with a change of raiment. "Behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee." When you are in Christ, your sins are put away from you, are removed as far as the east is from the west. So far hath he removed our transgressions from us. And that is because of the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that cleanseth us from all sin. This is the message that we bring. And does it comfort? Does it comfort the awakened soul, the converted sinner, when he hears the voice of his shepherd calling to him to follow him? "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us both wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." You got it all, the whole kit and caboodle in one package. This is the work of God. This Christ who died was to rise from the dead. And not only so, but to ascend back to his glory, where he now makes intercession in behalf of us with his work that he has accomplished in our behalf. And it's on the basis of that work that we plead for forgiveness every day, and that we live the Christian life in the strength of the Lord, and not in our own strength, nor with our own understanding. That according as it is written, "Let him that glory, glory in the Lord." Lastly, if you would turn with me to Jude chapter 1. I never could figure out why in some concordances it would actually say Jude 1. But anyway, let's turn to Jude 1. Whether or not your Bible indicates such a chapter. And read verse 23 in closing. "And if some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Is this the manner in which we are about the service of our great God and setting forth Christ before men? And think of witnessing as that. Think of evangelism as that. Think of missions as that, as our simply setting forth Christ. And so as someone mentioned even in our meeting, how important it is that we reveal Christ. That men know that we have been with Jesus. That we would be convincing because of our testimony. And thus would have that message that we would bring corroborated by the life that we live in the flesh. We live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Warn them. Satan is at hand. And he would snatch that seed from your heart if you let him. And then after you warn him, comfort him. But there is one who is greater. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Who will plead your case before the bar of God. And he will win every time. Because he is Jesus, the Son of God. Shall we pray? Oh Father, we are thankful for your Son, the Christ, the Son of the living God. We are thankful for his victorious work. We are thankful that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We are thankful that we will never be forsaken nor left, though we are deserving of that because of your promise. Because, Lord, you remember. You remember the mercy seat. You remember the place where our Lord died. You remember his shed blood. You saw it, Lord. You witnessed it as much as we did and more. Because that was your very own Son that you were willing to give up for wretched sinners like us. Lord, what can be more convincing to Satan, to the world, than that argument, that plea that Jesus died and that he died for me? Oh God, how we thank you for this message of hope, this word of promise. Lord, may we be compelled with compassion to go to those who are without this hope. And that, Lord, we would not waste time because we will soon stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We do not know when that will be. We do not know how long our life will be. O Lord, quicken us as dying men and people to other dying people. In Jesus' name, amen.